Hey y'all, welcome back to Hash It Out. We're excited to be back. I'm joined here with
Hello.
Ava. And Aunt Piwa. I'm glad to be back after a short hiatus for me. So today's, but before we get into today's topic, I just wanted to say that today we're going to be talking about women of color in leadership facing discrimination and mistreatment. So if this is a topic that may be hard for you to digest, please take your time to step away from the podcast. But if not, we're going to go right ahead and talk about it. There has been a rise of mistreatment of Black women and women of color in senior leadership positions, from being overlooked in the hiring process, even though they're usually overqualified for the position. Also experiencing being isolated and treated harshly while in leadership. Today's episode will explore why this is happening and why it's an ongoing issue. So, firstly, there was a situation at Lincoln University, right? And their vice president of student affairs, Antoinette Candia Bailey. She died by suicide after citing mistreatment and bullying by administration of the college. She ended up writing a letter about, being in a meeting and not being able to finish what she was saying, and basically being shut down during the meeting by the people in the meeting. I believe the president of the university was present. She was originally hired in May of 2023, and she was fired January 3rd of 2024, which is very short-lived. She had filed complaints to HR citing harassment, and it seems no action was taken on her case. While information surrounding her firing are a little hazy, the idea is that like she spoke out about this harmful work environment, and then she was ousted like right before her death. And it makes it seem that the system failed her. So that's just an example of a woman executive, a woman of color executive being mistreated and not able to feel like she's a part of an institution that she worked at and was hired by. She went through a process where they looked at her credentials, they looked at her resume and thought she was fit for the job. But then when she actually starts working in that environment, they treat her like she doesn't belong there. So it's really questionable.
And I think a lot of people of color already going into those positions of power have some sort of what is the term? Imposter syndrome. Have imposter syndrome already going into it. So carrying those like, I don't know, it can really make people insecure about their position that they already have on top of the things that they those feelings that they have coming into the job. Just hearing a lot of like, I don't know, like misconceptions and like maybe looks at times too. And just hearing that from colleagues or people that are on top of you can be really, really depressing for a person. And it can just add on to the insecurity that they already had going in. So it's just really sad hearing that, especially for people of color, women. Like, it's already hard enough coming to a male-dominated industry. So coming in as a woman, on top of a woman of color, where you can tell that there's a certain climate going around, I don't know, it can be really discouraging. So yeah, I think that's a good point that you made. And it just reminded me of the Harvard president. Her name is, just to get it right, Claudine Gay. And she was fired. It was a big controversy with her. It had to do a lot with anti-Semitism, essentially from her hearing. But I think a lot of the underlying message there was she had something to say, right? She's the first Black president at Harvard. So that was a very big thing, right? And she was, child in there. And I'm sure they looked at her curriculum very extensively, what her credentials as she came in, right? But during the ongoing war in Gaza currently, she had made a statement essentially in support of Palestinian voices, but as she had failed to recognize the Jewish people that died in October 7th, it became a big controversy, right? And I do think it was a fair trial that they gave for it. I could have some comments may have been giving off the wrong message to the Jewish students. So I think that's completely fair. Where I don't think it's completely fair, and where I think sometimes there's an extra light that is being shed onto certain people, especially as such a big name as hers, where again, she's the first Black president at Harvard.
Right.
That position is extremely high, and it has such like honor behind it. So they started to look at her record, right? And there was like, oh, well, she missed a citation here, she missed a citation here. And essentially, she had to resign from her job because of those things that people started to like make up, right? And again, it's just like, about like a woman of color being come after her career or making certain statements that got twisted into something else. And I honestly, when I first heard about it, it really upset me because, again, like seeing a woman of color have such a high position and such like a white majority school is really big. And a lot, I'm sure like the younger audience can really look up to someone like her. I mean, I think growing up, seeing people that look like you or share a similar background and seeing them doing something that you want to do is really inspiring. So just hearing about that, it kind of reminded me of something. But the ongoing battle of like being a woman of color in those higher institutions is something that I don't think will ever get over in the white majority institutions that we keep going. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think the messed up thing about that, like you said, is that they started to attack her education and saying that she plagiarized. Because that's the crazy thing is, as a person of color, a woman of color, you're always told like you have to work twice as hard. You always have to have way more credentials, way more degrees, have a lot of research behind you, have all these letters behind your name in order for you to even step foot in these type of rooms. And then because they can't find anything of what you actually did, they can't, get your character, they can't get who you are, so they have to attack your education. And I think like she definitely had the right to step down because it's not that I feel like she wasn't admitting fault and maybe plagiarism, but I think she stepped down because at the end of the day, your mental health is more important, your well-being is more important than allowing people to mischaracterize you and put something on your name. I think it's just like amazing that she even was the first Black president. They can't take that away from her. But at the end of the day, they never attack other institutions. And speaking in Indiana, there's been several incidents of executives working in the universities making statements against students that are inappropriate, and they're never they still have a job to this day. And we've done a episode about it on this podcast. So yeah, it's just really unfair.
And then this is something that will still be there in her record. That's the thing. It just doesn't end there with her stepping down. In any other job that she will go into, that label is put on her. So it just really affects someone's like whole livelihood, honestly. And like you said, like people of color, women of color get told to work twice as hard, really demonstrate like your effort because people don't recognize you for like you're putting out effort right there. So you always gotta do something more that really makes you stand out. So like with her, I'm sure she really put everything into like her career, her livelihood. So getting put attacked with those labels that really are like honestly career ending. Something as big as like anti-Semitism, which is very much real and something we should recognize, but something that got twisted into that and now being labeled as that's something that's gonna ruin your livelihood, period. So it's honestly like quite sad and upsetting that something as such like reputable institutions such as Harvard like that would be happening. But yeah, I agree.
And I also think, like, looking at everything in totality, it kind of just falls back to the fact that women of color are last on on the totem pole of patriarchy. And like, the fact that, they are at the bottom of, the social scale makes them an easier target and makes them more exploitable in these types of situations. Because, like you guys mentioned about our president, they had to start, like, looking at, small details that probably apply to everyone, but because they apply to you, it means more. I feel like, go ahead.
No, yeah, but it's just like a really sad, like, well, that like a lot of them get into. And again, I'm thinking of ways to like, how do we combat this? Like, how can we like combat this? And I guess speaking about it is one thing, but like, I don't know where we currently go to the P20 Black, right? So, and as diverse as it is, it's still like, I'm sure we cannot like work like in where like, I don't know, we might have been like, isolated by our backgrounds or by like being on.
No, you're right though, because I've experienced that, like, one time I had an experience where I was invited to come and speak at an event, and they asked me like after I spoke and everything, and I guess I may not have mentioned my major, and then I had mentioned what the major was, and all of a sudden, like, oh, you're a STEM student, like, they just all like their whole attitude shifted, and they started like wanting to ask me more questions, and like all of a sudden, like, oh, I couldn't do those hard classes. And it was just a weird conversation and a weird interaction. And it goes to show, like, people don't expect you as a person of color, a woman of color, like, to be in certain spaces. And so when you are, it's like you're a threat to you know what I mean? To who they are.
I was gonna say, like, I also with a lot of these situations before getting the job, obviously they looked at their credentials. They looked at, are you qualified to be here? And after looking, they said, yes, you are qualified to be here. But then what I think things shift is when they start to realize what it is that they've actually brought in. Because, like, on paper, in a neutral format, you see that this person has every right and every credibility to be here. But then when they're in front of you, and you now apply, the filter of color and race into it, you kind of just tune out their, qualifications, and now you only see them for their skin color. And I think that is a big thing, because if the people, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that they are where they are. They didn't get there by accident, and there was a long process of scrutiny to say, are you truly qualified? And there were probably other candidates and applicants who were not white, who had, other credibilities to them as well. But after all that, they said, looking at the stats, looking at the facts, we choose you, but then we look at you, you don't want to. I think that's just, yeah, you just said, wow.
And there are statistics that literally show exactly that, though. Like when
Yeah,
people, I feel like
the
we talk
blind
about,
interviews.
yeah, where we talk about those like blind interviews where people, like, I mean, who was it? It was like white, Hispanic, and black. Those were like the three demographics. And then once they got like the people's names and stuff, they were at least inclined to pick them. But if it was nothing, just fully credentials, like everyone was kind of like picked equal. So it was just quite interesting to see like that, just like that shift. It was like wow, it's like really that like blinding to someone.
Yeah, I think it just goes to show that, like, no matter how neutral you try to be, there's always going to be like an underlying bias. And when you're like, when like you know, because I mean, the underlying bias is probably, it may or may not be minuscule, but then when you apply that underlying bias to who happens to be the majority, which is, the white male population, that those, subtle biases can come together to be a big ball of bias against an innocent individual. So, nice.
And those time plays like can be very discouraging to some people that like when they pick careers. I remember, when I was being told like, oh, like there's corporate law and there's like there's other like sets of law stuff, and then you think about it's like, do I really want to be a bunch of white businessmen that will probably not take you seriously. So like it's just very discouraging in certain aspects of life when you're going into things that like, you have to always come in with like, well, I have to do, I've had to put in this much amount of work for me to even be taken seriously. But even if I'm taken seriously, why have I put in this amount of work to really fit in? And then I get like, there's always something you have to jump to get to like where they're at. Where for them, it's like, okay, they're already there. They just say that once.
Yeah, like I literally experienced the same thing too. But, like, before coming to college, I was thinking, maybe I'm like go into business, but then I kind of just realized, on a daily basis, what will I be experiencing, like, when I'm trying to get hired, what is that looking like? And the biggest thing that stood out to me is, my name and my last name. I'm like, there's no way any individual who resides in America will read my first and last name and not already have some type of, I mean, that goes for any name, but I think with my name being a traditional African name, the amount of, extra bias that may come from that is something that, like, I didn't like the prospect of. that. So I was kind of discouraged and stuff going into that kind of space too. Because I'm like, this is a place where, as I mean, especially as it pertains to business school, it's not. I mean, I feel like in terms of business, at least what we've seen in the past, there's not as much credibility in your degree as much as there is in your experience, which you know, we can all say is quite true. And what I started to question is, how much opportunity will I get to, build my experience and build my hands-on work? It's like, I can trust myself and my own grades, that's on me, but what are other people want to put on me? That's not something that I can necessarily control, no matter how qualified I am. So just thinking in that direction, already second guessing, do I want to put myself in this position? So, I think it's very telling.
And again, like it's crazy that we have to think about like lifestyle choices and that's gonna deter us from like things that we can't control. It's like basically like I don't know, managing things that we cannot
Like, will
control.
they like me? I can't force anyone to like me. I can tell you that I have a PhD, master's, but cannot make you like me.
And like you can't control it. You can't control other people's opinions. And again, that just goes back to like bias and stereotypes and ignorance. And the only way we can like I don't know defeat those is by like educating others. But there's so much education that we can put out there, but it has to really come. And it's so like I don't know. It's just so normal to like have some form of bias towards someone else.
I think, did you have something to say?
Oh
But I
yeah.
can hold on.
Okay. I was gonna say that I feel like that's where like policies come in into play because of course everyone has their biases, but I think like especially going through the social justice program in general, or like if you've ever done any like diversity, equity, inclusion programming, like you're a little bit more aware of your biases and checking them and recognizing them from others and things like that. But in order to make sure that people are checking out all the time, there has to be policies in place. And that's why I was sad to see the affirmative action end in, I believe, in June of 2023. And just to like give the definition, so affirmative action refers to a set of policies and practices within a government or organization seeking to benefit marginalized groups. Historically and internationally, support for affirmative action has been justified by the idea that it may help with bridging inequalities of employment and pay, increasing access to education, promoting diversity, social equity, and redressing alleged wrongs, harms, and hindrances, also called substantive equality. So basically, like this was in place so that. Or these policies under affirmative action were in place so that, employers could, like you said, look at people's credentials, not just trying to like, check a box or whatever. People make it seem like that. They're like, oh, just because that person got it, just because they were black. No, what they're saying is that you're going to make sure to, like interview a diverse group of people that are all qualified for, potential. For this role or whatever. But I think like before, a lot of times like it is who you know. Like you talked about how like in business, like there's this like bias of like what people look like in business. And it's not just that. It's like if you're say a white American and you've been in a white American society, you're not going to be able to necessarily relate to those who are different than you. And so when you're doing business, if you've never done business with people of color, you're not going to go to a wall for, for any, like, did you want to be a consultant or something?
I think I want to be in the management a little bit.
Management. Yeah, it's like so in the hiring process, like, they may like I've heard of like recruiters taking the resume and just putting it aside. Not even looking at it. And that was just, and the resume is really good. Like, I think that's unfair. And yeah, these policies should still be in place, but in
Yeah, and I think that the whole like demand of affirmative action going until oh they're just getting an advantage. Like they're just like the people that are under like Black people, Hispanic people, they're just getting an advantage. And I'm like, do not like it's just confusing me because Obviously, the majority of people have a stereotype that Asian, meaning like those coming from East and South Asia, essentially. Yeah, that part of Asia are very smart. That is the strongest stereotype. Obviously, it's not. I mean, I'm sure there's like the stats that do show like their education system is better and stuff, but obviously not everyone. Like not everyone falls into that criteria. So when it was going on, the whole affirmative action getting overturned and everything, I remember how it was pinned to, it was like an Asian versus Hispanics and Black people. It was such an animosity between minorities that you can tell this was so orchestrated by white people, by white institutions, that orchestrating of like that minority debate, that minority like clash, and obviously like we're all at a disadvantage realistically in a PWI. We're all at a disadvantage. I do think there's certain things that benefit why I'm a white majority, a white student as compared to a Latino student, for example. But I don't know, I just found it so sad that it was like turned against each other. And the whole thing about having an advantage, I was like, you're still an advantage, like you were saying, it's all about your credentials and how a lot of kids, like for example, a lot of like people that live in low income places, the majority of times are Latino or Black. It's realistic. And a lot of those times those kids just don't have the resources to achieve their full potential, to achieve their full like level of, I don't know, like what they want to do realistically in life, you know? So giving them that opportunity to go into a program or go into institution that they really want to. It's just, again, equal playing field. So I think it's a really good point to bring in to this topic because it does play a lot. And yeah, I mean, we can only hope for the day that it gets brought back and stuff. But as of now, it's really sad how many people are getting, you know, opportunities being taken away from them just because of their name, their skin color, or their being a man and woman.
Yeah, and it's funny because like I was the other day on Twitter, I saw a post and there was someone that was reposted, and then the title so it was a Black female pilot, right? She had a camera, to the side of her, and she was filming herself, and it was literally her, I think she's a commercial airline pilot most likely. All she did was kind of she was. She had to come on the runway, she took off. Yeah, normal procedures, right? But then in the video, the caption to the video was, it was something like, this is the results of DEI, right? So in the comments, everyone just started like, people, who weren't, didn't understand what was going on in the video, they kind of just assumed that she was unqualified to, be a pilot. Not that they knew what she was doing wrong or she was doing anything wrong or like if she wasn't following any sort of protocol, but they just literally saw a Black woman flying a plane and she was pushing different buttons, doing different things, and they just assumed, yeah, she's about to crash this plane. Black people flying planes, where did we go wrong? And that's all the conversation was pointing out. But then you could also see, other comments from actual professionals saying, this woman is actually doing nothing wrong. She is doing everything standard according to protocol. And she's executing her, her protocols very well. Like she's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing. But initially, all people saw was, yeah, she must not be qualified. She must be struggling. And why? They saw a Black woman flying. And that's not, I don't think I've ever seen a
No, I think
Black female pilot. And
yeah.
so it just goes to show, like, even I myself, I'm like, oh, this is, I've never seen a, I've seen Black male pilots. That's not crazy to me, but. Black female pilots being, the captain of one, I mean, and not the, co-pilot, but the actual, the most seniority on the flight. I've never really seen that. And so that's coming from me, a Black man. Now imagine what the white male audience or white female audience may see when they see a Black woman in such a position. Automatically thinking, how did she get there?
Like, and the funny thing about it is, like, imagine them saying this is a result of DEI,
This
right? In a negative way, this is the result.
Like we
And
have
it's like, well, great. If it is the result, like,
exactly, and it's like because they wanted to take it in the sense of, yeah, because of DEI, we have unqualified people
flying
flying.
plane.
Little do you know, she was doing everything right. But because you saw that she's black and you wanted to like attach, because you don't usually see black people there, anytime you see a black person there, must be DEI. And she couldn't possibly have actually, died and lost
And
something.
flying is dangerous. Like, you know how much you have to know, how many buttons? I watch like videos of people like, getting ready to fly and like how many things they have to remember in order just to take off. You can't cut corners. It's not, you know what I mean? Like,
You don't accidentally.
you don't accidentally just get there. You
And
it's
I think, in order to fly, you have to have like, I think, 1500 hours of flight
insane.
time or something like that. So, like, you don't just accidentally get here. But all you saw was a black woman flying. Initially, a red alarm called the police.
But you'll have like people, I'm not gonna say the names, but celebrities, like they'll pretend to be on a certain team to get into a college. Like, no one will ever say, oh, well, that's a result of what? Like, I don't know what to call it, but you know what I mean? Like, no one will ever say something negative. They'll just say, oh, that was an isolated incident of a rich person, using their
And then what
power.
I've been seeing lately is like, though, I don't know what I want to call it white Twitter, but that may be like an inappropriate term.
It's just hilarious
But
that
Twitter, yeah.
so funny.
But they'll like take, I think the other day I saw a post of, you all know who Tyler Perry is, right? The movie director. So there was a post, film showing his mansion, right? And then the person had, quoted, I mean, captioned a tweet with by saying, and I'm supposed to believe that these people are misrepresented and they don't have any privilege. I'm just like what? So because you saw Tyler Perry's mention, you can now throw every label on that label on every black person you see.
Or they'll come up with a conspiracy theory and say they're part of the Illuminati. Like,
I haven't seen that, but like
I've
they
seen
always trace
so
everything back to
many,
like,
like,
yeah, because like
people
Illuminati.
claim that Rihanna was part of the Illuminati, and I'm
Like the Illuminati is ridiculous.
like, oh, but you're just making up things. You're just saying a woman of color being successful, and you just automatically think it's
I
part of the
think that's
Illuminati.
deeper into conspiracy Twitter, not white supremacy Twitter. So
But where does
they
white
align, they
supremacy?
align.
Sorry, very special line. It's like a lot of witch premises.
Yeah,
Saying conspiracy.
and going back to DEI, it's like at the end of the day, it impacts everyone, like white people, black people, Latinos. People think DEI means black people or, or people of color. What it means is that it's talking about marginalized groups. Veterans are included in that. People with disabilities,
Yeah, no, quite literally, I've
all.
one of my classmates, he is a white student from like the southern parts of Indiana, very rural area. And we were just talking about, talking scholarships the other day. I was like, yeah, I applied for this scholarship, I mean honors scholarship, I got this scholarship. And I was like, yeah, what scholarship do you have? He's like, oh, I just have 21st century. I'm just like, you are a great example because people love to believe that scholarships like 21st century are just, meant to just give offer free college to black and Latino people. But I'm like, no, I mean 21st century is more of it's an income thing. Like this helps everyone. I don't they don't look at, oh, you're black, you get 21st. No, they look at your taxes and income and say, how capable are you of providing a college education for yourself? And based on that, we can determine who needs assistance. And I'm sure there's other many students say, because like I didn't qualify for, I wanted 21st century back. And I didn't qualify. I think, and I know many other, people who are black as well who didn't qualify for the 21st century. So there's notes in that, like, and I went to Ben Davis High School, which, if you're from Indianapolis, you can kind of like figure out the demographics of what Ben Davis High School is like. It's not like it's the greatest thing ever. So the majority of black students in that, area, they probably do qualify for 21st century, but through the system and through how, things are
Taxes
meant to
are done.
be, it was determined that, okay, this guy does not qualify. And what did I do? I had to go get my own scholarships. Cool, great. But then you will have individuals come into spaces and then dare to say, you only got it because of your race. No.
You're part of the
No,
deal.
5 years.
Yeah, that's so true. And I want to like emphasize that too, is like most of the time when marginalized groups create movements or create resources, they encompass everyone. It's not like when I think about the civil rights movement, it impacted everyone. It impacted women, white people, black people, like Latinos, everybody. And that's typically that I feel like that's typical of movements that impact people of color. They're never wanting to take something away. Like even as women, in the workplace, they're not saying that we want to dominate and men, now it's our time. We're going to take over and men need to just sit down. That is not at all what women are saying. Women are saying, you know what? We've been doing the same work. We've been in these positions for years and have never been promoted. While our male counterparts may have been promoted like three, four times. And we have an episode about the pay gap too. It's like women are just express, especially women of color, black women, are expressing that there is a gap in how we are being, paid, but also how we're being treated when we enter the workforce. We're not taken seriously. Then there was like the Me Too movement. Like that's a conversation for another day, but like that's an issue too, where you don't feel safe at work. You don't feel like you belong. And for the most part, executives or C-suite, there weren't women. Oftentimes, women were working in like middle management or lower. And then now that women are starting, and I think because women are exponentially gaining more education, more credentials, it's like now we have no choice but to hire you. You know what I mean? Like you all have more like accolades or credentials to meet these requirements. And also with the rise of like the optics of your company or your institution not having certain diversity. Like if we look at your board and we just see pictures of white people, it looks really bad. So they have no choice but to make those like adjustments. But it's like when they're hiring these people, they get upset when they hire a person of color and they don't like entertain the status quo. Like with Harvard, they were expecting, I think, like her to just maintain what they already been doing, but I guess she was making statements or maybe like navigating the space differently because obviously she's a different president like than the last one. And honestly, institutions don't like that. They don't like when people come in and have like and call out what's going on in the institution.
Funny because like the other day, the mayor of Baltimore kind of experienced the same thing where like,
Yeah, I
he,
saw
yeah,
that.
I actually haven't watched the video. I just been like, kind of reading about it. But you actually explain what happened in the video if you seen it.
Yes. So I saw the clip where he was talking about the DEI thing. But basically, I guess on the internet, like people had been saying that like he was a DEI mayor. Like this is what happened. You know what I mean? Basically what we've been talking about.
Yeah, this is the results of DEI.
And he basically like all he did was talk about how we shouldn't talk about the bridge because people were the reporters were asking the questions like what's going on with the bridge, like how long is it gonna take, like how are you gonna replace all these questions about the bridge, but not about the people that were lost. So he said, I don't even want to talk about the bridge. I want to like bring us back and think about the people that were lost, how we're gonna recover like the six people that are still missing and how like we can help the people that are had like were recovered. Like let's focus on that. And people, I guess, took that a certain way online and were saying like he was a DEI mayor, he doesn't know what he's talking about. That's why he didn't speak on it. But he had a comeback. Did you see the comeback?
Yeah, I saw his video. I'm just defending him. So like, it's by basically saying like these people want me to shut down and like they think I have to like do things in like their traditional way of how it had been operated by the white male audience. But he basically said, I'm not a white male enough, but I'm gonna operate like how those of the past have operated. I will operate like the educated black man that I am, and I won't change anything about that. That's basically a statement. Not a part of the I would not be shut down, and I'll just keep doing the right thing, basically. So, but yeah, he just came under a bunch of scrutiny for that, and it's just very odd. Like, and then like a question that kind of like came to my head as we were kind of talking about this, woman. Do you guys like find a coincidence that we had a black male president before we ever had a female president?
That wasn't a shock to me personally because I feel like that had to happen. Like there had to, it's like we always have to do it one by one. Like first
Yeah,
we get.
like we're voting the right to vote. That's kind of what it's
Yeah,
like.
exactly. With the right to vote, like
Yeah.
it's like okay, black man had a new thing, then the
Yeah.
woman,
Yeah.
he, like that's how it goes. And I think that's the sad truth. And then like if we have a woman, it probably will. I mean, I don't want to speak on like
I
what
think
it will
it'll
be.
take years to
It'll
see
take
how.
years.
I mean,
And
you
then we
almost had
probably
Hillary almost did it.
we almost had Hillary.
Hillary actually did it by majority
But
vote.
majority vote, I guess
So I
so.
feel like, and she kind of like, had her credentials as well. And she came from, her background
You think it, that's
represented.
because you were just so afraid of Trump?
That's
Okay,
also true as well. It might have just been driven by inside Trump individuals. I
yeah.
don't, I think, but I feel like in recent history though, we have been seeing, more of a front foot being taken by female politicians like AOC, for example. We've seen more of her. The what's her name? Runner in Georgia's state governor election. Forgot her name. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The black woman who
Yeah. Stacey Abrams?
that might be her name. I'm not
Wait,
completely
for what? For
Georgia state governor. State or
yes. I think it's Stacey Abrams. Did she run? Former
yeah, she almost won. Yeah, her.
Okay,
She
yeah,
was very,
wow.
very, very close to winning. Very close to winning. Lost marginally. And of course, Hillary Clinton as well. So I think we are starting to see, more women having more taking a bigger role in politics. And there still has I still see sometimes like, like this the narrative of like regardless of party, like I remember the other one of the Republican potential nominees who was still kind of like campaigning against Trump. I think pretty much almost everyone had kind of like withdrawn their campaign, but she was still,
Relatively.
yeah, she was still pushing, but
Nikki
she
Haley.
would, yeah, I think that's her name. She was receiving so many comments and like a lot of them were just sexist as to why, she should just
But
stop trying.
she is Indian as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she actually, people were saying that she was hiding where she was from. Because her name, she has a longer name and she goes by Nikki. So people are like, they're trying to
I think it's
appease her
like
audience.
Namrata.
I think it is. Yeah.
Really?
So she, well, that's just people were saying that she was trying to please her audience, which
Mean,
obviously
if it's the narrative, she had to. Like, look at
probably, yeah.
Barack Obama was a fully, he got his votes,
Yeah.
but even after winning, they questioned his citizenship, his legality, his who the
Religion
who's he, his
too.
religion. They
Yeah.
have they tried to convince me Barack Obama was Muslim.
I think his dad was actually
Yeah,
Muslim.
Barack is actually
Just like Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah.
Muslim.
And he like grew up like kind of like yeah, he had a very diverse background, like which I love. Like he had a lot
He's
going on.
Hawaiian too.
He's Hawaiian, like he had a, and his I think his stepdad was Asian. So he had that
Wow.
going. Like he had a lot going on. He was a product of the eyes. But it's like that representation was there. But I feel like, should it be that way? Like, do we have to have like all these markers? I feel like sometimes it turns into like identity
Yeah,
politics
it's quite
and
exhausting. It's like you want this and this has to be like this.
so I get Nikki Haley, like it wasn't even that she was trying to like not have to use her identity, but as like the oh, I'm Indian, vote for me. But like
Yes.
also it did seem like she was hiding it because
I
you
mean,
still have to be a level of look at.
look who she's running with. I think
Yeah, that's true.
that I don't
DeSantis.
want to like. I mean, well, that's another conversation. First of all, the party she's running with, I don't think that's a party that like puts the most emphasis on diversity. So showing that you are from
Vivek,
a non-white,
do we remember Vivek? Vivek, the other Ramaswamy, he's also running. People actually love him, but I genuinely do think again the Republican
No, yeah,
Party.
like I do. It's kind of funny to me how like, especially in the like the Republican Party, like the amount of like Hispanic, Latino like
Yeah, it's
candidate.
pretty. You
It's
say
funny.
that
It's
it's more diverse than I feel like the Democratic
actually quite
Party.
diverse.
It's weird.
It's because we also had what's his name? Is it Ben Carson?
Yeah, there was
Ben
Ben
Carson.
Carson.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
remember him.
speaking.
Ron DeSantis.
Marco, no, not
Marco
Marco
Rubio?
Rubio. No, that's a businessman. No, that's
No.
Marco Spencer. Yeah, Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio. I mean, I
Marco
know
Rubio,
there's
they
a
had Texas.
Ted
Yeah.
Cruz. That's another one I was
He's
thinking
from
of.
Texas and Marco Rubio's from Florida.
Yeah.
Yes, which makes sense. There's
I actually
another
kind of like
one.
Marco. He has
Wow.
some cool policies. He did. He
Okay.
didn't really do this.
Okay.
But,
Well, I will say, I think he's Cuban.
no,
I mean,
honestly,
this is white
we're
Cubans.
neutral on
They're
politics,
quite
so.
interesting.
Yeah. But I think it's just
They got Candace Owens. Low
that
key,
too.
she's Candace Owens is eating right now.
She's eating.
So she's onto something, if, you know.
But
That's Candace
yeah,
Owens
it's
on
just funny how, like, even in our societal defense, we just have, like, he, like you said, these markers before, we can see everyone equally. The black man got to do it for snap, and the black man, the white women got to do it now, the white women and the black women can do it. And it's kind of just exhausting.
Yeah. And I hope that in the future, you know, as the generations are getting, like the younger generations are getting to voting age, I hope to see, you know, more diversity amongst the candidates, not just
I mean,
because of, you know what I mean?
I think
Like,
we're, I mean, we're already seeing it. I think,
as far as president goes, because
okay,
president, I just
president,
feel
I
like
think in general,
we just keep
politics.
getting these older. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like
Too
older white
old.
men, like you need
Isn't it
to.
crazy? Biden's gonna be 90 something
Oh,
if he were reelected during his term, he's gonna be 90,
that's.
which is insane. So insane.
And you know the crazy thing is they talked about
Absolutely.
Kamala Harris, like in like the way people talk about her, like they say that she's never in the office.
She's
She's
just
always
there.
she's
That's
getting
so
her hair
interesting.
pressed and stuff like
Yeah.
that. And it's like, while we may not agree with her policies or how she's handled certain
Yeah.
things as far as like, you know, Palestine and other things, I think it's interesting the way that people choose to even attack. Like they don't attack the
It's
policy
like
or like
they choose
her.
the old woman in the kitchen narrative,
Yeah,
but,
it's like
and they
they're
do it with
too.
every female politician.
Yeah.
Like I think regardless of party identities, as long as you are a woman, you will be subjected to that. Even if we see, I mean, we see all the time. We see it in sports. They love, what's her name? Oh Lord, how did I forget her name? The lights out. I always would. How did I forget her name? I know her name. Oh,
In sports,
Caitlin
Caitlin
Clark.
Clark.
Caitlin
Yay,
Clark.
Clark.
Like, even with her, like, and her, amazing, sporting prowess. She's so like, if they're gonna joke about her, it's going to.
They say that she's very emotional. Did you see that last thing that
Oh.
she went viral for? She threw the
Oh yeah,
basketball.
something like that.
She and then they would just say,
"Oh my goodness, women in sports." That is a whole
Another
other,
topic.
like,
That's another topic.
seriously, like it bothers me the way that, like, the comments and like I'm on Bleacher Report, and if they post like a highlight day for Caitlin Clark or with Angel Reese, like the comments will be like, "Oh, she belongs in the kitchen," and like, "Why is she even?"
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's getting a little bit better though, just because
It's getting
like
a little
Caitlin
better.
Clark has just like it's like she's undeniable and she's made herself inevitable as a great athlete. Like when she first came out, we all had questions like, is she
We
really
all
like,
questions.
is
We
she?
all had questions. Ball like for her whole life.
I mean, I think it's a natural order of like, a great athlete, coming up, it's like the first time you do it's like, are you really like that? Can you do it again? And then you do it again. And like, so it's like, I feel like in sports, regardless of like your race
Yeah.
or your gender identity, you kind of have to like
Oh,
do it
I see what you're
again.
saying.
Yeah,
Like,
do
is
it
it
again.
consistent? Is
Yeah,
it?
are you a one season wonder? Like, are you like that? And then after, you've kind of like had those stable moments, is you just get recognized as a, yeah. Like, for example, I'll say this on live. I used to be a S tier Stephen Curry hater. I did not like the man when he first came out. 20, yeah, 2014,
Okay.
20. I did not like Stephen Curry, but then he just got to the point. So like, he's just another black
Yeah,
person.
you got it. You can't deny
Like,
it.
he's just another black person. There's
Yeah.
not much I can say. And that's kind of what Caitlin Clark had to experience. Because like the majority of the male audience, like they question like, it's a smaller ball, a
Yeah.
shorter 3-point line. She couldn't do it against, like, oh, can she? Or like they had first they questioned, can she do it in the WNBA? But now they're questioning, can she do it in the NBA? Because like
Yeah.
she recently got offered a contract by Ice Cube's Big Three League, and they kind of wanted to play a couple games for like I think 10 mil, something like that.
That's crazy.
Maybe 5 mil. I think it's 5 mil. Yeah.
I'd love to
But
see it.
How old is she?
probably like early 20s, for sure. Like probably about 20,
Wow.
maybe 21-ish. But yeah, I think after, you know, make yourself so inevitable and will accept you. But until, you know, kind of
Yeah.
until you're able to do that.
Which I respect. I respect no matter like what industry, like how you're gonna be criticized, how you're gonna be
Usually,
critiqued,
yeah, I
I
think,
respect it.
yeah.
And I wish that like what we take away from sports, like how she's like undeniable and like people can't now they can only talk about her game. I can't wait for a point where in politics and education in any industry, like that's how we operate when it comes to marginalized people, women of color in the workplace. Like, let's get to a point where we're able to look at a person and not think, oh, they're a product of TDI. They got this because of affirmative action, even though it's gone now. But you know how what I mean, like that we're cutting corners to get where we are. Instead, like look, judge us by the content of our character.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King said it best, like based on my credentials, based on what I'm doing, like judge me off of that. And I think that will be like better to hold people accountable to do so. And so that brings us to our last question. Like, how do we hold institutions accountable to do these things for women in the workplace and leadership and executive positions? And also, like, how can, I think that question is more for you, like, how can, like, males be an ally in the workforce?
I mean, for me, I think, I mean, the general thing that I think would help is kind of just meeting real people. In essence, like people need to touch grass. As
Oh,
cliche as it sounds, people need to touch
respect
grass
it.
and like
Yeah.
just actually meet someone. Don't say like just meet someone, talk to someone. I think Keon said it best, like, tell your story, because if you never tell your story, they will never think someone who looks like you could ever have such a story. And we need to do more of that.
Yeah. Shout out, Keon.
Shout out to Keon. No, shout out to Keon. Like, and I mean, it's just the fact of like, you know, it's the fact of life now. Like, we never expand our horizons. How do we ever hope to see over there?
Also, it's so lame. Like, play now. It's literally so lame to act like a weird misogynist, like, insult. Because that's what you look like. When you doubt, like, a woman, or you make, like, weird jokes. Or, like, I don't know, not stand up. Like, when you hear something, say something. Like, don't just stand there and, like, watch it happen in front of you. Because you're being complacent. Silence is complacency. Literally. So, I don't know, just saying something. Like, if you see it as a man, if you are seeing something happening, do something about it. I don't know if you guys have heard, I know this the last question, but it's kind of off topic. All the women getting punched in New York, like different
I didn't see that.
areas.
I mean, I seen a
I saw
guy.
the first
The first
video
one.
of the girl, and then I started seeing
Like, it's a list of women getting punched in New York by like this, like, a bunch of men. And it's like, two other people are watching. Like, why aren't just
they feel
like,
like a hit in real life.
what?
Ooh.
Like, on the side of the head?
Yeah, try that.
Like, oh my God.
And like,
Like, women are
literally,
all
I
these
won't forget somebody.
unpracticed.
Try that with me. I took a self-defense class. I won't go with you, though.
Like, oh my God. Like, women are always being
That's
targeted
why you
in some
love
way.
counter women.
Yeah, but it's just,
It's so
is it like for
scary.
entertainment? Like you literally
No,
just,
like, women are, oh wait, for them punching a woman?
yeah, listen to like a, this is
Literally,
about to go viral
this
right now.
guy on a subway was practicing his, like, elbowing, and then a few spaces next to him was a woman, and you could tell she looked terrified. She was just like sitting like this, and he was like literally like practicing like going like that. And it's like, it's so insane just walking around as a woman, like in these times, like literally, you never know when,
You
like,
punched the wrong person. I'm sorry. Like,
like.
because he, and I can tell, like, he was in a certain part of New York where, like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it looked like a lot of transplants, a lot of calm, like, suburban type. Had he gone, like, a few boroughs over, like, he wouldn't be doing that. Like, come on.
It is a black or white individual.
I think one of them was black for a fact. I don't know where the rest of the punchers are at, but from, but yeah,
I'm like, is this racially motivated? Like, what's going on?
So it's like a body check because one of the girls said that she was on her phone and then he did it. Yeah, like people body check people where like they're trying to make you pay attention, like while you're walking in a big city. So they'll like try to trick you or like push you, shove you just to like be like pay attention.
I've never really well. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
Interesting.
It's really sad.
Interesting.
That's the way to wrap it up.
Well, on that note, be how to not be treat women, how to not treat women, but how to further be an ally in this discussion, please go ahead and comment, rate, and subscribe to our podcast. Also, leave us any comments about what we discussed in here. We would love to hear from you what your idea of holding these institutions accountable for discrimination and mistreatment of women in leadership. Well, happy end of Women's History Month, and we hope to see you in our next episode.